This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. Good morning, Brian. How do you do?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
A lot better than the Boston Celtics.
Ah, listen, man, you know, we were both thinking this was going to be a sweep.
I didn't think sweep. I thought five or six. Sweep. I thought the Garden, I always think game three, like I thought the Knicks in the Garden would get one there.
But Brunson has been hampered by a little, his ankle and all this stuff. I thought Brunson not completely healthy, you don't have a chance. Hell, they up 2-0. But he's a dog now. He's a dog on that court.
The Celtics lack, at least right now, they
don't know how to drop some Sam Cassells. That's their problem.
No, well, dude, they had a 20-point lead in the third quarter.
Yeah, but you, when you let somebody come back, when you get up by 20 on somebody, you know my little saying, you put one foot on somebody's neck and slowly lift the other one up and just see the life come out of them? They don't know how to do that.
Dude.
They allow, what they do, they put their foot right by the guy and give him an oxygen mask. Help him out a little bit.
What the Thunder did last night, I think they had 80 in the first half.
Like, they came out and said, okay, yeah, that's how you want to do it. They were beating them so bad that the Joker, he started being very, very illegal.
Pardon me. They scored 87 in the first half, if my math is correct.
Like when Scotty and Jeff scored on the front of the line.
Yeah, exactly, dude. Like, what the Thunder did last night is what Boston should have done. I don't know what to make of this Celtics-Knicks thing. Dude, when you get up 2-0 and then you're going home.
Oh, they're going back. That's right.
Dude, like they're going to play two at the Garden. To me, it's hard to
normally think. Normally they say that the series doesn't start till someone loses at home. Well, you lost two at home.
Right.
This series is off and running.
I don't want to say. It would be premature to say the Celtics are cooked. But
yep.
It's hard not to think they're going back to Boston down 3-1.
Yeah, are they going to win four?
I think the Knicks get one in the Garden.
That's what I'm saying.
I think the Knicks are playing really good defense. Mikal Bridges has been excellent. I think Brunson is obviously just this type of dude that is.
He can score when he wants to.
Total, and he only had 17 last night. Mm-hmm. But, man, were they important. Josh Hart was awesome last night.
And that's a Villanova crew right there, right?
Sure is. Yeah. I hate that commercial, by the way.
I like that commercial.
They look so awkward. I don't know. It just seems.
That's what it's supposed to do, dog.
Perhaps it has.
They say, hey, dog, look at our checking account. We all right.
Perhaps it has something to do with recent feelings I've developed towards Villanova.
Oh, but that's why you hate the commercial.
I don't know.
But you know, you can't be mad at Villanova. You got to be mad at the man that decided to go there.
I am. And I haven't even brought this up, but the Terps have out-recruited the Wildcats so far. The problem with college recruiting now is it's a daily occurrence. There's no finish line with recruiting. But I think you don't want to, like, generalize too much on this stuff.
No.
Tatum last night had 13 points in 42 minutes, and they didn't even get a shot off. You're down one. above all else, like think about the end of the college basketball championship, mm-hmm. the national title game, when Houston just didn't get a shot off.
Killer instinct.
It's one thing to miss.
You got
to
put them away, dog. You know, when you get up on somebody, listen, I know people talk about sportsmanship and all that stuff. Sportsmanship can fly away. That's the way I look at it. Okay? If I'm up on you and you are a pro, I'm not going to take it easy and allow you to come back, because at any time anybody that's a professional can get on a run. In Little League, and I got just an overall better team, maybe high school and my team is just way more dominant. You got 20 players on your roster and I got 20 people going to Division I colleges, I pull back. In the NFL, NBA, anything like that, you just going to lose that day. Because I am not going to stop my guys from improving and trying to do what they're supposed to do.
Totally. I am legit. There's not a lot of things that shock me in sports. The Knicks being up 2-0 after two games in Boston.
That's a shock.
That's a shock, man.
Hell yeah.
Like, the Nuggets stealing game one, I wasn't shocked. I thought it was really kind of worrisome how the Thunder choked away that game. But they responded last night.
They said, okay, it's not going to be like that the rest of the way. And the Celtics didn't. The Celtics, like, we up by 20. Now the world is back in order. Let's relax. Oh, hell, they're up on us right now. You know what I'm saying?
Not to mention, dude, when you think about these Celtics-Knicks games, the first game, the final, was 108-105, but that was in overtime.
Yeah.
Like, whether it's the Knicks' defense or pace or just Boston missing so many damn shots, they're keeping these things really low scoring. But last night Knicks, was 91-90. That was like a mid-90s basketball
score.
That's
how the Knicks play, though. They play – they're going to go down.
It's intentional.
They're going to play the whole time, the shot clock. Normally you're going to have Brunson going to the hole. Either he's going to make it or he's going to go to the line. It's normally like that. And what you do, you get into, it throws off the other team's rhythm, because most guys in the NBA, you know what they're used to? The other team not playing defense.
Right.
And just the fact that they play hard defense and they try, that just throws off most other teams.
Well, and you know one thing that had me thinking, when you get to this level of the NBA playoffs where there's eight teams left out of, what is the NBA, 30, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other side of the East, the Pacers are up 2-0 after two games in Cleveland.
Yeah. Well, Cleveland got a lot of injuries.
Sure.
And it's going to be hard for them to win it.
And we're going to see what happens tonight now that Steph's going to miss some time for the Warriors. I mean, that's going to be really interesting.
Well, the coach is already setting it up. Because he came out and said, hey, they're beating up Gobert. Gobert needs to get beat up.
Yeah,
he's been
like
stupid throughout his career, so I don't care what happened to him.
Fella. But, dude, if you look at the East, we saw it. I mean, the way the Cavs dispatched the Heat, but the bottom of the East was so bad, just so bad. You wonder if some of these records aren't a little bit inflated, that when they start playing other really good teams night after night, if the playing field isn't a lot more even than maybe the regular season records would suggest.
You can't look at it like that. The fact of it is, you're playing pros, and normally they handle those bad teams. So, I mean, I can understand if they were losing to those bad teams, but they handled them. The Celtics are a very good team. Something is in their heads and messing with them right now. Maybe their coach is not as good as we think he is. Maybe he just got onto a team that was already loaded and he went along for the ride, but everybody thought it was about him. Because what's happening now, you're watching coaches make adjustments. You're up by 20 and you lose, something wrong with your coaching. That's just the way I see it. We always knock players. What the hell does a coach do or not do to be able to understand? Like, you see a lot of time a team is up and another team go on a run, coach call a timeout. You know why he does that? Slow this thing down, because it's a locomotive that's happening. And if you just slow it up a little bit, you throw off the rhythm, and now you get a chance to talk to your boys, get them back into the mindset of what they're supposed to be. That didn't happen last night.
What is the odds in that Celtics-Knicks series now. Because, if you remember, it was the money lines were 90% suggesting that the Celtics were going to win that series.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I mean, that's got to be significantly different. Okay, so they still, I believe they still have the Celtics as favorites? That seems impossible. That's got to be from last night. White Brian, see if you can track those numbers down. You still think Boston wins that series?
At this point, I can't say that with certainty. Like you said, if they go to New York, New York wins the first game in New York. They're sitting at 3-0 with four games left. When you already lost three games to a team and you lost two of them on your court, do you really – does somebody really have the mindset that, oh, they're going to go and win four in a row now? I don't buy it. I think it's going
to
be tough.
They don't have to win four in a row.
It's very
patient. But they need to win two of the next three for sure.
Well, I'm saying if New York were to win the next game, they got to win four in a row. So every time New York wins, pressure's on them now. Well, the pressure's really on them. And at the beginning, I did not think New York would get a win. Now, I don't know if the Celtics have a chance of winning it.
Dude, so the latest numbers that White Brian's sending me, what's this from? FanDuel? DraftKings?
Yeah, FanDuel.
Okay. FanDuel's saying the Knicks are -110 to win the series, and the Celtics are -106.
Wow.
That's crazy. The Celtics still aren't plus money, even though they're down 2-0.
They're the top team in the East, right?
No, they're the second. They're the two seed. Cleveland's the one seed.
Well, Cleveland.
What's the Pacers Cavs series? What if the Eastern Conference Finals is Pacers Knicks? Imagine the amount of Reggie Miller highlights we'll be seeing.
Oh, that'd be bad. They used to have some knockouts, heavyweight championship fights. No.
Those were awesome. Reggie Miller gets a lot of heat on social media. Maybe everybody does on social media, but I like Reggie calling Knicks games. I think it's fun. Damn, so the Pacers are significant favorites to win that series now. I think some of that might be injury driven. Pacers are almost -200, Cavs at +165.
Why they get mad at Reggie? I think Reggie's damn good.
People hate on him. Big time.
Well, you think Reggie cares? No.
I don't. I like Reggie calling the games. I was paying attention, but then we had to get the kids down, and bedtime's always its own adventure. And I came back down, and I was kind of watching the score on my phone, and then I came back downstairs for the last 90 seconds, which takes 10 minutes, but the last 90 seconds of basketball time, mm-hmm. and was just blown away. And Jason Tatum is a gold medal winner, an NBA champion. He's an excellent player. He's one of the best 10 players on the planet. But, dude, his inability in closing seconds in this series is something that's going to linger a bit. Unless they come all the way back to win this thing, I don't know, man. Yeah. Last night, you couldn't even get a shot off. Yeah. At least he tried to go to the rim. The Knicks played really good defense. I don't know who it was that kind of stood up, help side at the free throw line that forced him to keep going to the corner. Bridges was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Bridges gives you a full game every damn game.
Doug, I've been critical of him because I think he's kind of soft. But Karl Anthony Towns has not been soft.
All right. He hadn't been soft in New York. Prior to that, I watched a game in the series before. And all of a sudden, he just started taking big man to the hole. Because one thing about him is the big guys that are checking him are not as athletic as he is. So somebody must say, look, dog, you got the advantage. Use it. And he went to the hole maybe two or three times, and he now sees it because he started playing totally different in that series prior than I've seen him play in his career.
Dude, he went for 21-17 last night.
You got to do it.
Normally
he would go through a game and shoot 6-7 three-pointers.
I know.
And would not ever go to the block.
I know.
Now he takes him off the dribble. He'll go to the block. He does all kind of stuff.
Absolutely. So, Knicks are up 2-0. Thunder come back to win last night. That's 1-1. Tonight we got Pacers Cavs. Oh no, that's tomorrow night. So the only NBA game tonight is T-Wolves Warriors. That's an 8:30 tip.
So, Ant better come with more than 1 point in the first quarter, whatever, first half, whatever. What did he do? One point in the first quarter.
What's the spread in that? That's got to be pretty interesting with Steph out. Obviously, the biggest game in town tonight for us is the Caps, who are desperate for a win.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk a lot of Caps today. Joe Beninati, voice of the Caps on Monumental Sports Network, is going to join us at 1 o'clock. We're checking in with two New Yorkers on this thing. Chris Miles, who I don't know if he was joking or not, but Chris Miles from NBA TV, our friend, our old co-worker, at least said he thought the Knicks had a chance in this series.
Well, and he's from New York.
Right. Maybe he's saying it with his heart, but now it looks – and then Peter Rosenberg is going to join us at 1:30, who's feet on the streets in NYC. I can only imagine the buzz in the Garden Saturday, 3:30 for that game.
I would love to hear the people in Boston. What are they saying?
Dude. Yo, where's our guy? I think his name's JR in Boston, who calls in. He's always very worried about the Caps, which right now I imagine he's very, very worried.
What is he?
JR in Boston. JR, wherever you are.
A Celtics fan? Call us and tell us how you feel.
I think he's a DC sports fan. He just lives in Boston.
Boston.
There were a couple of things. We're going to get into Caps next. Also, I don't know if you saw this, but a new poll from the Washington Post that I want to discuss. The Post has talked about there are legitimate questions to be asked about RFK. You got to get the best deal possible for residents. But they did a poll of D.C. residents if they support the use of public money for the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I thought those results were very, very telling. We'll get into that a little later. Jeff Bostic, obviously a guy that knows what RFK means, is going to join us at noon. Really excited to talk to Bosco at noon.
I was going to call me yesterday.
Awesome. But quickly, I did want to address something with the group. Our guy, Jeff, went and played some golf yesterday with the one and only wild card, Scotty. And Jeff, I give Jeff a lot of credit. He is he's trying to devote himself to becoming a better golfer. And it's a hard game, man. And when you're really trying to learn and get your swing right, it's hard.
It's a hard game for everybody, and they tell you that. But this one thinks he's going to be the only person in the world going to just pick it up real easy.
What I applaud about Jeff is his off-air demeanor about golf, because he has been humbled. Now, on air, he continues his bombastic tone.
Oh, no, he's still – he. When I played him the other day and there was no chance in hell he could beat me, I could have hit my pitching wedge. I could have hit my putter off the tee all the way through. Just play the putter. He wouldn't have won.
I believe you.
He told me, oh, bro, give me about another 4 or 5 months. I'm like, what you going to do? Shoot. An 11 on the hole instead of the 12?
The only person with a more insane golf view is I have a buddy, Charlie Carocchio, who is convinced he's going to qualify for the senior tour in 5 years.
How old is he now?
He's probably a year or two older than me.
And I guess how good is he?
Not close. He's a decent player, but like that bell curve is so outrageous.
Yeah, yeah.
But God bless you, Charlie.
Like, what's his handicap now?
I'll have to look it up.
He going
to
quit his job and just do golf all day?
Yeah, he's got 4 kids. I don't think he's
not going to quit that. Well, Charlie, guess what? That dream, stop having it, because it ain't going to happen.
My buddy, so there's another guy, Keith Unical, who's an excellent player. He's probably like a +3 or something. And Charlie always brings it up, and Keith is like, you're literally out of your mind. But let's focus on Jeff for a moment. B, I just sent you the video of Jeff from yesterday. And Landfill, I'd like your take, too, as somebody who doesn't play much golf. Check out Jeff's newest swing.
Can I see this video, too?
It's in the thread,
it's
dog.
In the text thread, dog.
This is from Lake Presidential, I believe, yesterday.
I'm just going to tell you straight up.
We got to straighten that back.
The back is a little messed up, dog.
Hold on. I see this video.
The bottom half of your body doesn't move at all.
Landville, we should probably post this to the Instagram and the Twitter, I think.
No, don't do that.
Jeff, I got a compliment.
Told me you got over the water. There's no way with that swing you got over the water.
No, that was a different hole.
You
got to
release.
18.
You got to release 18, the hip.
No, I'm talking about that's
man.
What that was 18 that I got over the
you
water.
You told me you got over the first one. You said you hit it, then you knocked it over. That ball went over to the right side.
I never said I got it over feet. On my first try.
Oh, the second try.
So don't, my third.
So, your third. So you were hitting 5.
But he's going to tell us he got a 7 on the hole.
he did tell me that yesterday.
I got a 7 on, I think it was 13.
Congratulations. I like the shoes you're wearing. What kind of shoes are those? Did B. Mitch give them to you? How did you acquire those?
Yes. B. Mitch gave it to me. because
are those G4s?
G4s, man.
I kind of like those.
I had to hook him up, man.
Hook me up. Hell. I'm in the market for new golf shoes. I've decided.
That's a bad video.
What size you wear?
That was 11. That was my first
that swing. That size I wear.
Even better.
That was my first swing. Lanfield, what size you wear?
Lanfield, what size do you wear?
12.
Ooh, okay, Lanfield, big dog. 12.
And White Brian, what size you wear?
Also a 12.
Ooh.
How the hell you get size 12? You're like you got too much. You're like my boy Jerome with them big old shoes, all that room from your back of your ankle to the back. You should have like a smaller shoe.
Would it shock you if White Brian's the kind of dude that wears two pairs of socks?
No.
And definitely tighty whitey.
But you can see the loose. You can see the looses in the back of his shoe.
White Brian still hasn't gotten.
I tell Jerome all the time wearing size 14. Dog, you're 9.5.
Lanfield, what'd you think of Jeff's swing there?
I was horrific.
Lot for us to discuss. If you want to see Jeff swing, it's going to be on the at B. Mitch and Finley socials in just a moment. Talking caps when we return.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Nobody go anywhere.
Fan.
All right, B. Caps Canes game 2 tonight. I was talking with Johnny Cakesonville. Anybody that's not just a complete homer, I think, recognizes that the score of that game the other night could have been 5-1, 6-1. I mean, Carolina controlled that joint. They dominated the first and third period, and mm-hmm. I think the second period was the best the Caps played, yeah. And maybe they kind of played it to a draw.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all, like, we're pointing all of that out. But should someone choose optimism for tonight, they kind of got smoked up and down the ice.
But they were still in it.
And it was either tied or they had the lead for most, you know what I mean?
But see, like, that's because of Logan. Logan was unbelievable.
Yeah.
But you can't depend on that happening all the time. The others have to do more to help him, like what the Hurricanes did to help their goalie out.
Yeah.
Okay. But I hear, like, the comment was like, well, they throw a lot of shots at the net. But you know what? People look for that. When we get a lot of our goals scored, it's because it's a rebound. So if you throw tons of shots, you have tons of chances. And we have to be able to be so tight on them and affecting them and hampering them to where they don't have that many chances to just throw the ball. Doesn't mean the puck at the net.
They've got to get some possession.
Yes.
Like, you got to.
Because that first period, they were down in the Caps was defending, like, damn near, of the 20 minutes, they were defending 14, 15 minutes. They had a little bit of time in their zone, and then the rest was neutral stuff. You can't win like that. And it was just a fantastic shot from Protas.
Yeah, man. It was the giveaways on their own end. That's been going on since Montreal. That's a big problem. They get no sustained rush from taking possession in their own zone going the other way.
See, I watch the way I would look at the game, I'm like, I watch the Caps. They try to make the perfect pass and take the perfect shot. Carolina say, we're going to get the dirty stuff. Throw it there and charge. Because what happens is when the puck, there's no direction of where that puck's going to go. And you got guys coming from different directions. It's hard as hell on the goalie. That is why I say you tip your hat to Logan Thompson. He was out this world to be able to keep the goals like it was.
He was
in that
fantastic.
Game. He was out this world.
If you look just kind of at the box scores, what's even more remarkable, everybody's aware that the Caps got outshot almost 3-1, 33-14. But then if you add in blocked shots,
yeah,
the Caps blocked 32 shots in that thing.
Yeah.
Now, some of those are bad shots that you're able to just knock down. But say half of them are legit blocks. I mean, that boosts those numbers to almost 50-20. Because, I mean, the Canes blocked a few too, but.
Didn't John say it was 90-something to 30-something total?
The shot attempts.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, Barstool Nate was texting me about all these, like, lineup changes he wants to see. I think if you're Carberry, you can't get too desperate too quick. It's one game. Hockey's crazy. And you're the one seed for a reason. You scored the most goals in the at least the Eastern Conference for a reason. Like, there's a reason you finished the regular season with a plus 56 goal differential. I wouldn't want to start scramble mode in game two of the second round. I think Coach Carbs the other night was pissed. So were the players. The players, it's a little differently because I think they knew they just got their ass kicked. I think for Carberry, he feels like, whether it's on him or not, he feels like he didn't have the right game plan, didn't have the boys ready, whatever it was. And his job tonight, I think, is to instill the confidence, fellas, we're the baddest guys on the block. Let's go kick their ass.
Yeah. You know, I normally go with players first, and then every once in a while I say what coaches got to get done. Carberry has said and done the things he's supposed to do. I think at this level, I don't think a coach should have to get you ready to go. If your profession is playing a game that you played all your life, competition should get you going automatically.
Sure.
And that coach is just to get you on the right track, get you focused properly. Because they have enough guys on this team. Tom and Ovi have shown for a long period of time what they're about. Then you got a bunch of young guys with Chicharin and also Protas that come on here, and they're showing you what they're about. The young guys keep the old guys youthful, and the old guys get you a little bit more experience quicker. And the coach designs the game plan. They have to go out there and understand that what they're going against right now, they're not afraid of them by no stretch of the imagination. And they have to just say, okay, let's take their heart. That's what they have to do. Make them give you the respect that you deserve.
I'm with you, B. It is a remarkable situation where, I mean, dude, I was at Channel 4 last night, and I think Unyang is such a big time DC sports fan.
And well, I listen to her.
I love Un, right? And she's passionate, and I think she's such a good bellwether for, like, you and I are ingrained in this every minute, every day, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, hockey's not our number one. Clearly, our bread is buttered through the football team. But people have no idea the conversations you and I have with Brent Johnson, Alan May, Joe yeah. B, Locker, Tarek,
Smoking.
Koken, all, yeah. like, the people that are in the hockey world
Peter
every
Barnes,
day.
I talk with him.
Right. Dude, even, like the dudes on the ice crew, like, the photographers that are there every day. Like, I'm talking to them every day and texting with them about, like, we are getting insight. And they, the folks that know everything, have their concerns. But I think fans, like Un, who I think is the perfect example of just a fan, I think fans are freaked. I think a lot of people thought this was a bad matchup going in. I think Vegas installed
them
as
underdogs. They remember
when
they knocked them out last time.
Yeah.
And fans normally, they always see the sky falling. Just Chicken Little. Fans are Chicken Little.
Well, that game the other night, so I thought at the end of the regular season, I was like, oh, man, this Carolina series is going to be tough. And then I convinced myself watching the Montreal series and getting LT back playing at a really high level. Then they get Protas back. I'm like, all right, they're getting their swag back. I thought game five when Ovi scored that first goal and it was kind of an ass-kicking, I was like, all right, they're getting their swag back. Like, this mm-hmm. this is going to be okay. And then game one, man, was just – that was not it. And I think everyone needs to see something significantly different tonight.
Totally. They need to come out.
Have some offense.
Get it early. Get it going early, man. That's all you got to do.
Indeed, sir. Indeed. Yes. I'm going. You're going. Cody's going. Ahmet's going.
My nigga say, yeah. You and Ahmet, that's been your date for the last
You said, and Ahmet are like kind of a couple.
I said we're
point.
Friends, man. No. Ain't no such thing as a couple. Should, friends.
We need a celebrity couple nickname for B. Mitch and Ahmet. Landfill, any
no,
ideas?
We don't.
Bomet?
Well, you and Mitch are always together, so what you gonna call that?
Tischler?
Yeah.
Doug, I haven't sat next to Mitch at a game.
You with him all the time, though. You travel with him. Y'all go a lot of places together.
Seen Mitch in 2 weeks.
You have been around Mitch more than I'm around Ahmet all the time.
You go to every Caps game with Ahmet.
But you and Mitch have been working together for what? How many years?
You and I spend more time with you than I do with Mitch.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
You spend late nights with Mitch. You be with Mitch at 11:30 at 12 o'clock at night.
We're on the road. I spend late nights with you, too.
Monday Night Football, I don't see you.
I don't see him on Monday Night Football.
Y'all do a podcast right after the game over.
That's not what are you?
That's late night. Monday night football is over late, right?
If the Commanders are playing, but if it's Texans versus Colts, we're not doing a podcast that night.
No, I don't see you at that time.
I have no idea what you're saying.
I said what I was saying.
Trying to deflect from his celebrity couple.
Did I not say what I was trying to say? You try to adjust it. I said you spend more nights with Mitch than you do with anybody else. Even Lauren. I'm joking.
Couple things out in Ashburn I want to discuss. Chris Miles joins us at 11. Nobody go anywhere.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, You can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
We host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Don't need no mix. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Scheduling update.
Say hey.
Now, I am not going to overstate this as breaking news on The Fan, Lamphill. I'm not doing that. I'm merely providing a scheduling update.
All right.
And I think it's relevant for a couple different reasons.
Why?
This weekend in Ashburn, the Commanders are hosting rookie minicamp.
Yeah.
Rookie minicamps win the draft picks, the undrafted free agents that have signed with the team, and then a host of other players that come in to kind of allow them to have the numbers to have, like, relatively normal practices, also be the considered tryout players. Gabe Taylor is one of the tryout players. I know there's a ton of excitement surrounding that. Currently, the Commanders are redoing their locker rooms, so the temporary locker rooms are in the practice bubble.
Yes.
In turn, they can't practice in the bubble. The media was slated to attend rookie minicamp tomorrow, Friday, but the weather looks terrible, so they have moved the media viewing session to Saturday.
Okay.
Again, this is rookie minicamp. This is extremely small-scale stuff. The only reason I kind of wanted to point it out, if proper investments had been made along the way, none of this would be necessary. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's just another example of these guys trying to do in real time stuff that should have been done for 25 years.
And they're doing everything that probably should have been done 15 years ago.
Exactly.
Because that complex has been there since 97, I think it is, something like that. Maybe a little bit earlier than 97. Five or six, and
you would know
I don't
me.
Think the only upgrades that were ever made, they painted the walls different colors, and they were saying what the certain colors made people feel and think. And I was like, huh? Because they had like oranges and like yellows, and like nobody that played football cares about all that. Make the stuff good, give me the stuff that every other team has, and then we can go outside and have a damn good field. I don't care about lilacs and all that stuff on a damn wall.
There was a lot of stuff done poorly. It's being done correctly now. Listen, I'm not guaranteeing that if they had already redone the locker rooms to keep up with the rest of the NFL, that the scheduling change wouldn't have had to happen, but I'm pretty damn sure. not making assertions, lest there be lawyers, right? Lamville has something in here that is certainly worth pointing out. Nats had a pretty good game going yesterday, and then they gave up, I think they gave up 8 runs in the 6th inning. They are currently on pace. They could have the worst bullpen in Major League Baseball history.
Yeah, well, when I talked with Bees, he was like, the bullpen blew it again. I was like, okay. But, see, that's something right there that annoys me because it's been a problem for a long time. It's not like it just started. So you have to fix that.
Before yesterday's game, the Nats bullpen had a 7.16 ERA. I know people like more advanced stats. I like ERA and batting average. Call me old-fashioned. They had a 7.16 ERA in the bullpen going into yesterday. After that game, 7.22. Currently, the worst bullpen since 1950 is 7.06 by the Phillies in 2020. I'm sorry, yeah, in 2020.
So we already beaten that.
By 0.2 of a point. By 0.2, like, I mean, that's significant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this, maybe they figure it out. To me, I think the bullpen situation is like a direct result of not spending any money, right? Because if you want a couple good relievers, that's not paying for Soto or Trey Turner's contract. but you spend a little money on some good relievers, known quantities in the majors that could get you outs in the seventh, eighth innings. Because Finnegan's been good. When they can get to the closer, he's been closing it.
Yeah.
But
you got to get there.
Where there's no money spent is those middle reliever guys, and it's pretty damn apparent.
Yeah, you got to be able to, once you take your starter out, you need to have people that are effective enough to get them to the closer.
Right.
But if you get to the closer and then the game is just going the other direction, hell, you might not much want to put him in. I mean, if I were close, I'm like, nah, dog. Close what? I mean, they up by how many points? You want me to be a magician here?
Yeah, dude. Everything with the Nats, as much as James Wood's really exciting, C.J. Abrams is hitting, Mackenzie Gore's been good. Like, you can look, and hell, we're two blocks away. You can look over there, and there's real reasons for excitement. Have one, it's just awesome to watch young baseball players as they figure out who they are in the game and are exciting, right? That's one. Two, if you want to think bigger picture, you could see real pieces for long-term success.
Mm-hmm.
But everything with that organization circles back to ownership's complete unwillingness. I'm not going to say inability. They have the ability. They've shown that ability. They are unwilling to spend in a game that requires spending.
Oh, yeah.
And, dude, that team's pretty good. They're going to flirt with 500. I think they end up somewhere around 75, 70 wins. If they spent a modicum of cash, if they were middle of the road in spending, you might be talking about a 500 team. You might be talking about maybe even a wild card team.
Yeah.
But they refuse to spend. It's not inability. It's unwillingness. It sucks. Chris Miles joins us next.